here in this passage, the word bitterness is used for the first time in your Bible. You can learn a lot of things when you use the law of first mention in your Bible. In other words, what does God say about it the first time? And this is the story in the waters of Marah. They just come from a mountaintop experience. They just came from, in the chapter before, in chapter they were being chased by the Egyptians. They're looking at the Egyptians. They've got the Red Sea to their back. And God brings them across, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea, and God killed the Egyptian army, and they come. And then chapter 15 is Miriam's and their song of victory. The whole chapter is a song where they rejoice and look, God's deliverance, isn't this wonderful? And then you come to the end of the chapter here at verse chapter 23, and it says in chapter 15, verse 22, at the end of it says, they found no water. They found no water. Then it says, when they had a legitimate need in their life, verse 24, it says, the people murmured against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? Now, isn't this amazing? In the same day, they've seen God's deliverance. Yet they come to we would call this a smaller need. I realize in 3 days, if you don't get water, you die. I realize this could be life-threatening, but nothing could be more imminent than watching a huge army getting ready to override you and watching God part the waters. And they go across the Gulf of Aqaba there and head into Arabia, and then they watch that. Well, if you're thirsty, how come you would think somebody would have said, hey, God just delivered us. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord to show us what He wants to drink? But instead of taking their needs to the Lord, they complain and they question God's justice. This isn't fair. And aren't we quick to say that? This isn't fair. That's probably the thing we say the fastest is, this isn't fair. I'll share this with you here in just a second, but if I gave you anything to write down this morning, what's the definition of bitterness? The definition of bitterness is this, you'll hear it again in a little bit. Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. I'll say it one more time and then you'll hear it again. Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. Here they come to the waters and they are called bitter. And because they don't understand, look, God never has to meet your requirements for fairness and justice. God will always be just and fair, even if you and I don't see it as just and fair. God does not have to meet my standards. But that's exactly what they're requiring of the Lord this morning. They're saying, we're thirsty and we need this met. What'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us? What'd you do? They just got delivered. No, God didn't bring you out here to kill you. They just got delivered, yet they're going, God, and they come to the opportunity, if they aren't careful, they're going to get bitter. And God says the solution to bitterness or the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. God says the answer to the bitter waters, the answer is verse number 25. And he cried unto the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So watch this. So God says, they come to the waters. Bitter normally means, in this case, you can't drink it, or it's going to take more fluid from you than it puts in you, and it's a way of death. And so they know they can't drink the bitter waters, however poisoned they are. God says the cure to bitterness is to take the tree that God provides and put it into the waters, and that which is bitter can be made sweet. Well, if I use my Bible to define the word tree, I find in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, whoso hangeth on a tree, is cursed. Acts 5:30 is the word tree is dealing with a cross. In Galatians 3:13, I find that that tree is the cross that our Savior died on at Calvary. You know, wait a second. You mean when I come to a place in my life where I don't understand and I'm going to question God, if I could get bitter, what I'm supposed to do is take a tree and put it in the waters and God can use the tree to make the waters sweet. How does that work? Because anytime I'm blamed for something I didn't do, I can remember that my Savior was unjustly tried, unjustly beaten, unjustly tortured. He didn't do anything. It was my sins that put Him on the cross. He was becoming my filth. He was becoming my disobedience. I remember being in school, and I remember, you know, when my math teacher would turn, she had real frizzy hair, and she was a smart lady. She could not stand me, and I never did anything to her, but I had, you know, guys sitting around me, and they would bring birdshot to school. You know, the birdshot that you put in a shotgun, and her frizzy hair was like the ultimate frizzy. And I remember as I was sitting there, my dad, if I would have done that, my life would have passed before my eyes. I just didn't do that to teachers. But the guys on either side of me, every time she'd turn around, they'd flick up birdshot, and then it'd get caught in her hair. And she would be, X, part of, you know, she was my algebra teacher. X, X, Y, here. Oh, what? Oh, 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 who did that? And one day, every time she'd turn around, and she couldn't get the little birdshot out of her hair. And she, and they liked watching her spaz. Okay, I thought it was funny, but cruel. Okay, I wouldn't have done something like that, but I laughed at them when they did it. And finally, one day, sure enough, she turns around, fling, you know, you hear it hit on the board, and it goes in. Finally, she goes, Mr. Nash, you have detention. I didn't do anything. But I was sitting in the direction that she thought it came from. And I remember, I had detention. I remember sitting there going, you guys are jerks. You know. And they didn't have to spend, and you know, you're not going to specifically tattle. But I remember I got nailed for something I never did. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to most of us to certain degrees. Every time that happens, an unresolved violation of your justice system that ends in hurt or pain. Every time that happens, you have an opportunity to either take the tree that Jesus died on and all that He went through for you and take it in that injustice and put it in the waters so that you don't get bitter, or you can, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. Now, yeah, the sooner you come to that realization, the better off you'll be. Amen? Somebody said, you know, one of the teenagers was griping. Oh, they unfriended me on Facebook. Really? Welcome to life. Are you kidding me? Somebody unfriended me. Life isn't fair. That's okay. I know that's a reality for some. However, I find here in the Bible, God's cure for bitterness is the tree. It's the cross that Jesus died on. I find in Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Jesus died on that tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus died for me. Let me show you someone who never used the tree to put it in the waters. Would you take your Bible and go to 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 23. So the children of Israel come to Marah, the bitter waters, and God says to help you when you feel things are unfair. When you feel you've been mistreated. Instead of getting angry at the world and angry at God, take the tree and put it into the waters. The tree of what? The tree of Calvary. The tree where Jesus died for us. Look at 2 Samuel 17:23. Watch this. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Why would one of the king's counselors, someone who's around the king, go home and hang himself, and he ends his life in a self-inflicted, obviously self-driven suicide? You're in 2 Samuel 17. I want to look at Ahithophel this morning. Watch this. Go back two chapters to chapter 15. 2 Samuel. You're in 2 Samuel 17. Go to chapter 15 and look at verse 10. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10. I'll read, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then shall ye say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. So here's Absalom, David's son, rebelling against his dad. He said, I'm going to be king. I'm going to take the kingdom from my father. Then, look at verse number 11, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem, and they were called, and they went in their simplicity and knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, there's Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, King David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Here's Absalom's rebellion. If we went back to David sinned with Bathsheba, and God said, okay, you took another man's wife, and so God said, you know, God does spank you when you do wrong. David didn't go away with his sin. It says the sword will never leave your house. God says, I'll take the child's life, and your family will fight for the rest of your days. No, David didn't get away with his sin. But here, Absalom, part of the spanking that David got for sleeping with another man's wife was his own son, rose up and rebelled against him and said, I'll take the throne. And Absalom and the conspiracy, it says, is strong. And yet this man named Ahithophel ends up going with Absalom, the rebeller. He had been David, the man after God's own heart. He had been David's counselor. And when he found an opportunity to hurt David, he switched to Absalom, the rebel. What would cause this? What would cause disloyalty at this level? When I read 2 Samuel 15:31, you're in chapter 15, it says, one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom, verse 31. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, if you're in chapter 15, I know we're just looking at a few things here, and then I'll start drawing some points here. David says to Hushai the Archite in verse number 34, ready? But if thou return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now be thy servant, then mayest thou be from me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So Hushai is put into play by King David to go and be a spy. Then Ahithophel ends up feeding Absalom's rebellion against his dad. If we go back a few chapters, and I'll just show you this. You're in chapter 17, chapter 15. Go back two more chapters to chapter 13. Watch this. Chapter 13 is a sad chapter. Absalom and started taking place. There was incest in David's house, Amnon and Tamar. And this is the story of how a half-brother raped his sister. And it's sad. Well, Tamar was Absalom's whole sister, but was Amnon's half-sister. It says here, you're in chapter 13. This is just a little background for it. Look at verse number 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, this is after Tamar is raped, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother, regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, that one of his children had raped another one of his children, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced or raped his sister Tamar. It came to pass after 2 full years. Can I just tell you something? Here starts a process. One, what would cause Ahithophel, King David's counselor, to switch, to rebel? But beyond that, what would cause Absalom, the man who is really set for the throne next, what would cause Absalom to rebel against his dad? The best that I can conclude from is that King David got mad when he found out about the incestuous, nasty relationship and what Amnon had done to Tamar, but he didn't do anything. All he did was get mad. And it says from that point on, Absalom started to hate Amnon. And it says for two... Can I just tell you this morning, you can't hate anybody and get away with it. For 2 years, he didn't speak to his brother. He didn't speak to him. And I believe this is the start of Absalom's bitterness. Because don't you think after his sister was raped, he said the same thing the children of Israel said back in the book of Exodus? This isn't fair. She didn't do anything. And I would agree, she didn't do anything. She was tricked. But there was a choice. What is bitterness? Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system that ends in hurt and pain. Here, Absalom is rebelling against his dad. I believe 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 20 is the beginning of this hatred and this bitterness. I believe Absalom was bitter because Amnon wasn't punished for raping Tamar. If somebody was going to be punished, it did take the king to do that. You couldn't execute justice on your own just like today. It did take the king getting involved, and King David chose not to. 2 Samuel chapter... look at now your chapter 13. We're almost done, and I can start drawing some conclusions here. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 16. We're just staying right here in 2 Samuel. I'd like for you to read this yourself, but watch this. So here's Absalom. He's angry at his dad. Teenager, can I just tell you something? Your parents have never been parents of teenagers. And do you know when they're going to get the hang of it? When you move out. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not for what King David did. I'm not for overlooking the sin. He should have judged it. He should have. But David was wrong. But who dies, though, in this story? Listen to my question closely. Who dies? David, the one who did the wrong, or Absalom, who rebelled against his father? Absalom dies. The biggest lie of the devil is, I'm going to get even with you. You won't get even. Your hatred will cause you to self-destruct. Your parents are going to make mistakes. I cannot believe the foolishness in our country. About 10 years ago, the guy that tried to sue his parents at age 32 for not rearing him right. Are you kidding me? I'm taking you to court because you didn't... What are you going to do? Oh, you're 32. Go ahead. No, Vin, let's try it again. Mom, change his diaper. Isn't that stupid? That is the most insane... You didn't raise me right. My problem... No, your sin is your fault. Your problems are you. It's your lack of character. It's your lack of discipline. It's not your parents' fault. Didn't buy me a puppy. Didn't take me fishing. Didn't play with me. Okay, dads are going to make mistakes. I'm not for them. But it's going to happen. They haven't parented teenagers before. So instead of getting bitter, don't get bitter. Go to the tree. Go to the tree. And put the tree in the water to keep you from getting bitter. Here, let's look back at this. You're at 2 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 15. And Absalom, the rebel, the one who's fighting his dad, and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem and Ahithophel with him. So here's Absalom bitter. Ahithophel joins him. Have you ever noticed? Ahithophel with him. Have you ever noticed? Bitter people attract bitter people. Have you ever noticed that? People that whine attract people that whine. My car always breaks down. We had one guy in the Marine Corps in our platoon. His rope was always longer and his mile was always longer. I know why you guys beat me, because my mile was longer. I was like, you need somebody to boink, you know. he was constantly whining. Did you ever notice here Ahithophel is drawn to Absalom? You hate your dad? You hate your dad, Absalom? So do I. I can join with you. And here Ahithophel with him. You're in chapter 16, verse 15. Would you move on down to verse 20? Watch this. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you what we shall do." And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left, to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." I know this is a graphic part of the Bible, and I'm going to be decent, but can you just see the wickedness here? Absalom says, "What are we going to do?" And Ahithophel says, "Why don't you take your father's wives and do wickedness with them on the roof in the sight of all Israel, and then everybody will know you hate your dad." Are you looking at the counsel he's given him? Anything that will hurt your dad, I'm for. So why don't you, this is something that'll show everyone your hatred. Bitterness normally never decides between right and wrong. Bitterness is just about revenge and getting even. If Ahithophel knew what was right, but his heart wasn't right. You're in 2 Samuel 16, verse 20. I'd like you to go to chapter 17 and just listen real closely. I'll read it with you in just a second. In Proverbs 14:10, it says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness." Here it says, the counsel of Ahithophel was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. God was still blessing Ahithophel while Ahithophel was encouraging David's son, Absalom, to rebel against his dad. It says here, you would have thought, see, when you sin, I understand that. When you sin, the blessings of God stop. That is not true. That is not true. Here, Ahithophel's heart is getting darker with bitterness, darker and darker, and he's going against his dad, encouraging Absalom to go against his dad, and it still says his counsel is standing strong. You know what's sobering? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Ahithophel knew he was bitter. He knew he was wrong. If you're bitter, God is the tool for your success. That's how you think. Instead of, you know what I'm supposed to think? God is not my tool. Like a politician, I'll mention God to you so you vote for me. Most of them do. It's garbage. They're, you know, doing this stuff. God is not my tool for success. Can I tell you something this morning, Christian? You are God's tool for success. God is not your tool. But in a bitter person, they reverse it. They reverse the thinking. And they think, God is my tool for my name to make a name. You're in 2 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number 1. "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night." I think he's saying this as an old man. So he's already told Absalom, do wickedly with your father's wives up on top of the roof, let everybody see, and then give me a band of men. And I just picture this old man, give me a group of men, and I'll go out and I'll kill this David myself. King David. Then he says in verse number 2, "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." What is bitterness? Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system that produces hurt or anger. That's bitterness. I find out here, can you take your Bible and go to 2 Samuel chapter 11? Who is Ahithophel? What in the world? In this story, this is a sad chapter. As you're reading through the Bible and you're reading in 2 Samuel, you're looking at the rebellion, and I understand David should never gotten away with his sin, and God made sure he didn't, but my goodness, this just goes on. 2 Samuel chapter 11, and David, look at verse number 3, 2 Samuel 11, 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam?" You underline the word Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So this is Bathsheba, and here this is she is the daughter of Eliam. One more verse. Ready? Look at 2 Samuel 23, 34. Would you? Can you take your Bible? Go there, 2 Samuel 23, 34. 2 Samuel 23, 34. Watch this. Eliphelet, the son of Ahashbi, the son of Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and here, Ahithophel is Eliam's dad. So who was Ahithophel? It was Bathsheba's grandpa. It was Bathsheba's grandpa. And watch how Ahithophel is acting. Oh, I understand. I'm starting to see as I read my Bible, I'm starting to see Ahithophel, that stinking preacher, David, sweet psalmist of Israel, man after God's own heart, slept with my granddaughter, killed her husband. That's not fair. Preachers think they can get away with everything. And he wasn't, was he? God does spank his own. Stinking preacher. And he got worse. And as you read through 2 Samuel, he gets worse and worse. Take your father's wife, sleep with him. Give me a group of men. And I'll go kill David myself. They can't differentiate. Have you ever noticed bitter people will justify sin? He would never have done that before he was bitter. Wouldn't you agree that's wrong? I know, but that stinking preacher killed my granddaughter's husband. I hate preachers. And it just got worse and worse. As I read this story, I'm reminded of traits of bitter people. You see, I feel like as a pastor, if you could recognize when others get bitter and what happens when you get bitter, then you could guard yourself against it. So I'm going to pull traits from this story this morning, and we're almost done. Just listen. What do bitter people do? They find loyalty to the right very hard. They find loyalty to the right thing very hard. Ahithophel joined Absalom, the traitor, the moment he was asked. Absalom was a very bitter person against his dad. And what scares me is this. Teenager, young person, if you have no problem criticizing your parents, no problem criticizing your pastor, no problem criticizing your church, no problem criticizing any authority, you have no problem criticizing people who do right, then have you ever asked yourself the question, what are you bitter against? What is then? You see, there's a reason. That didn't just happen. You got bitter, and then you become not able to be loyal to right or right thinking. You see your enemies as friends, and you see your true friends as enemies. Sin is a spiritual hallucinogenic. You start seeing things that aren't there. You start hearing things that people never say. He couldn't see who Hushai was and perceive his intentions. I watch people. Look, nothing hurts a church more than this. I know what they meant by that. That's called, I can read between the lines. Those are called Those are bad thoughts. Did the pastor say the pastor doesn't like me? Did the pastor say he doesn't like you? No, but I know. And they start literally hearing things that aren't there. They start seeing things that aren't real. And the pastor isn't the problem. And another person across the church isn't the problem. The problem is bitterness. Unresolved violations of your justice system that result in hurt or pain. That's the problem. And watch this. The higher the bitterness, the more they start hearing things that have never been said. The more they start seeing things that aren't there. Sin is a hallucinogenic. Number two, they never speak against wrong. I did not say this morning that if you don't speak against wrong that you're bitter. I said this is a trait of bitter people. They never speak against wrong. They vicariously get a release from other people's hatred and rebellion. Look, I'm for helping everybody, and if you want help, look, I'd help a homosexual. You know, there are some that want out, but most don't. But if I found one that did, I'd help them, because I believe that's what God tells us to do. But there ought to come a point, there ought to also come a point where when you can tell someone's bitter and hateful and angry, Christian, you either steer clear or you're going to get bit. You cannot listen to someone, oh, I hate them. I know. And here's a famous line. I love them, I just don't like them. That's always a cover-up. That's always a cover-up. Something's wrong in here. Something's wrong. The only thing... Hatred is supposed to strike fear in every Christian. Hatred never lifts the spirit of the child of God. Hatred always grieves the Holy Ghost of God. The only thing a Christian should hate is sin and the devil. Hatred must be scripturally directed and controlled. For instance, all pornography is wrong, and there's never a time when pornography is acceptable. But Ahithophel turned on that. Allowed Absalom to do the filthy thing with his father's wives. Number three, I said number one, what are traits of bitter people? They find loyalty to the right thing hard. Number two, they never speak against wrong. Number three, they long to see ones they are bitter against hurt. You see that? That'll show your dad, Absalom. That'll get him. That'll hurt him. He hurt me. Slept with my granddaughter, killed her husband, wrecked her life. Okay, I'm not for anything that David did, but Bathsheba had Solomon. And Solomon then was next in line to the throne. And as much as I'm not going to say, I would say this, I highly suggest you quit getting so mad about it and you focus your prayers to God and let God handle it.
Amen.
That's not your job.
Amen.
You're going to explode. You're going to self destruct. You cannot hate someone as a Christian and get away with it. Give it to God. God's the one that's in control. Number four. I already told you, God is their tool for success. Number five, jealousy and envy rule in the life of a bitter person. That's why, look, I've been jealous before. I've watched people get jealous. Jealousy can destroy a church. And I don't know anybody that's dealing with that this morning, but can I tell you this? When you deal with jealousy, it's never an outward problem. It's always an inward problem. I wish I had that. How come that happens to him and it doesn't happen to me? I work just as hard. I put in just as many hours. I don't care if it's on the job. I don't care if it's in the church. Jealousy and envy when you're looking at people and you're thinking, how come they always get, they never seem like they have any problems. I get flat tires and engines blown and what's wrong? How come I can't have that? Anytime you start doing that, Christian, can I just tell you what I learned from our story this morning? Bitterness. Something happened and you didn't give God the benefit of the doubt. And now you're angry at God. And all anger this way eventually goes this way. I don't care if it's... I'm not for any of the pain that happens, but life is tough. Do you understand? And if you don't learn to deal with the pain and the pressure in a scriptural way, you can self-destruct. If you don't learn to give it to the Lord. Why did that happen to me? Why did the baby have to pass? We're good people. I don't know. I don't know why. But give God the benefit of the doubt. Go to the tree, put the tree in the water. He died for you. He was suffering for you. He was unjustly treated for you. He was tortured for crimes he never committed. And He's the only one that can make the water sweet. He's the only one. Because no one was misunderstood and falsely treated like our Savior. No one was. Finally, when success is not achieved for a bitter person, there's never repentance, there's just more bitterness. That's how come instead of Ahithophel going, you know, my life's a mess. I need to get right. He did the opposite. And he went out and he committed suicide. Hushai's advice taken. They like jealousy, envy. How come they listen to him and they don't listen to me? Stinking, I'll show them. I'll kill myself. I guess he did. What a foolish way to think. Did you know I've watched Christians do the same thing? This morning, the message is the spirit of Ahithophel. Who's Ahithophel? It's Bathsheba's grandpa who went and hung himself because of his bitterness. I think there's some lessons that we could pull. And I did this why? So as a pastor, you could recognize traits of bitterness and stay away from it. Stay away from it. Let me just remind you again. I'm not for what David did. I think everybody knows that. But when Absalom got angry at his dad, who dies? Absalom, hung in the tree, run through with spears. I suggest you come to the tree. You say, God, I don't understand how come I've been so unjustly treated. God, it hurts so bad. And give it to the Lord. Lay it at the foot of the cross and put the tree in the water to keep you sweet. To keep you sweet. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Please, I pray that, Lord, you could help us this morning. I pray that you would please. You said the heart knows its own bitterness. And I wish, Lord, for each person in here,